Welcome to From Cork with Love Adventure, the only programme from Cork, Ireland, in which you can hear what it's like to be Irish in Cork from the point of view of a totally unrepresentative man. This is Paul O'Mahony welcoming you to the latest episode. To be back in Moonbone Wood without Rebecca Solnit at my side, or more precisely, in my hands, is a strange experience. It's weeks since I have been here with Louis. I've been in other places with him. I've been in other woods. But I haven't been here. And this is a place now full of water. There's been an especially large volume of water tumbling from the skies in recent weeks, and it's running down the side of the culvert, overflowing onto the sides of the path in a way that I haven't seen since last March or so. You can listen. I guess the sound of water that runs like that must in some way resemble the sound that an infant hears while in the womb. There's something primevally attractive, to me at least, in that sound. And whether I'm walking along like this, along a path through Moonbone Wood on a Tuesday morning under a little time pressure, but able to see the froth on the water, or whether I'm sitting on a bridge at evening as the sun goes down, listening to the trickle of a rivulet flowing underneath. Wait, no matter where I hear that water trickle, that stream flow, I feel at one with nature. There's a kind of cord that ties me in to the water. A sensation of being connected. Some kind of evolutionary, or some sort of connection that has evolved from the time that all was dust from the Big Bang, after the Big Bang. A Big Bang sent dust flying. Dust coalesced into rock. Rocks flew out into space. Attracted each other. Into orbits, and here I am in the orbit of the water. Whatever about the scientific accuracy of what I've just said about the Big Bang and the dust and the rocks and the attraction into orbits, it's an accurate description of the sensation I have of being at one with what's around me. which appears in huge diversity from the form in which I appear. My ability to speak mirrored in the ability of the water to flow. Water flows according to the geography of the place over which it flows and the pressure exerted on it from behind. So water exists in that. The movement of water exists within that construct. Those limitations and foundations. It doesn't exist in a vacuum. My intelligence exists within a framework, a foundation, within limitations of its surrounds. In a whole variety of ways unknown to me, limiting the ability of my imagination to travel into new spaces, into new envisagings. We are all limited, the water, the intelligence, the trees, all limited. All within a foundation, all within a structure and a framework which releases the potential. That the potential of something increases according as the limitations around it increase. This is an idea. This is not a truth. The idea that something gets more powerful by existing within a framework is counterintuitive. You would think that something is more powerful if it has no limitations to it. I suspect that the power and the energy within an atom increases because it is within an atom, because it is held tight, just as a balloon dissipates once you burst it. The air within escapes and is, to all intents and purposes, gone, melded into the rest of the air. But while it is within the balloon, the air within has strength, has form, has structure. We're a long way from that flowing water there, and the browns. Yeah, they're browns, they're different colors in that generic brown flow. The ground underneath the water, the stones through which and over which the water flows. The reflections coming from the grasses that are along the side. Louis, you've got brown spots. I'm talking about brown, probably my least favorite color. I wonder if other people find brown an unpleasant colour. But here, out here today, brown is the best of all colours. It has tones and variations, capable of being bent to different shapes, capable of displaying itself. and yet brown, is a function of light. Light hits a surface and something happens which transforms the light into brown. I presume all light is colorless, and now I presume all light is not colorless. Light is split into different wavelengths, and each wavelength has a different color, or perhaps more colors. I don't know about what happens within or because of a prism. Oh my goodness, there's a person walking towards Louis, running past Louis. Here, come. Come, my dog. Good dog. You're a good dog. Now, you must walk past this lady. Good morning. Yeah, well, it's I like to have him on a lead when we meet people. You know?
He's fine.
Because you never know if...
I know. There's a huge flood over there, but you came prepared.
I did, I anticipated, because you have to go into the wood.
Yeah. There's a bit of a track there, so it's okay.
Yeah.
But you came prepared anyway, sure.
Yeah. Hey, have a good run.
Thanks,
go on. That's a good dog. There's nothing like a chance encounter to remind me of the unpredictability that lies at the heart of perception. What I perceive appears to have regularity and a pattern. Is it going in a certain direction? And then around the corner comes a woman dressed in red, running like a jogger. I like a gentle jogger. It seems that she was holding her iPhone in a plastic bag, if I observed correctly what was in her left hand. And she paused, which is nice. It's very social. And it means that she was attentive to her surroundings and not just wrapped up in her own self. Although being wrapped up in my own self feels like it, attending to my surroundings. Since myself is a surrounding, I am surrounded by a self. Nominative, surrounded by accusative. Oh yes. Cases within which we live. There's a time for brambles and a time for hedges. A time for pines and a time for sedges. What was it? A time to live and a time to die. Psalms, Song of Songs, I don't know, I can't remember the exact origin. In the James Bible of that kind of story, that kind of statement. Now we come to the lake. How did Louis get through that lake? Did he run around it? I see a lake before me, deep. I must take a photo of this lake. There we are. Now, let me and myself. Oh, damn it! I've got a leaky Wellington. I forgot. Yeah, the minute I entered the water a little bit, I felt this cold intruder. Now it's the deep dark wood in here. In here lie flesh-eating leprechauns, ready to strike at any moment, blending with the trees in perfect melding with the moss. Let's see if we can sneak out here into the light. No. Not an easy sneak. I hear a dog barking in the distance. There he goes, you heard that. Oh God, right. I can go here and here. Thank goodness for long legs. Actually, I don't have long legs, but I have a decent stretch. The way of the path. Reminds me of the way of the cross that my darling mother, my dear mother, I meant really. I never was known to call my mother a darling. My dear mother spoke. The way of the cross reminds me of Lourdes, Stations of the Cross in Lourdes, and writing poetry in front of each of the steps or the places where you pause. An unbeliever abroad with a believer. My mother, very clear, committed, Roman Catholic. Maybe she'd have called herself a Christian, but she certainly lived by the way of Vatican II. Whatever that means to you, but it meant something to her. And I went to Lourdes, I think it was. Well, it certainly was three times with her. Each time as an unbeliever. And found a way to find. Found a way in which Lourdes impressed me as the most supportive place. The most consistently supportive place I had ever been in my life. Where everybody around me seemed dedicated to the care of others. Right, I have so many pieces of audio over on Audio Boom or Audio Boom about Lourdes. Hundreds, I suspect, pieces of audio. Well, I know there was one visit to Lourdes where I recorded, I think, 70 pieces of audio. Every day, diary in several parts. And I remember Nick Holloway Vox on the internet. I remember him saying appreciative things about the experience of listening to our Lourdes. I wonder how much of my mother I recorded while I was in Lourdes. I do have recordings of her, and I suppose that 2019 might become, in part, a year in which I brought together all in one place all the sound recordings of my mother. I have none of my father, unfortunately. My father died before the digital age. He had a Leica camera when I was young. That's where I learned patience, I suppose, from my father. because he had a separate light meter. And we would pose for a family group photograph. And he would take the light reading. I didn't understand what he was doing. He held this thing up to the sky. I don't remember him taking light readings from people's faces. But he took light readings from surroundings. And then he set the aperture and the speed on his Leica. This was before automatic cameras did it for you. And he took the photograph. And he handheld this Leica. I didn't know it was a Leica. I didn't know there was anything about it that was worth knowing. Other than, it'll take Dad 5 minutes to take this photograph. So you might as well breathe easy. On and on and on we go, on to Mary's wedding. On to Mary's wedding. On the days, life without care, over the sea to sky. Over the sea to sky. Yay. It'll be good to take you home, Louis. Leave you at home and crack on with going into town today with Roger Overall and going shopping to get a little something for each of three men. What on earth to get these particular three men? It would be too easy and too expensive to walk into Waterstones and buy them each a moleskin notebook for the year ahead, even buy them a diary one. That would be too easy. It's still very attractive. I could give them a different color each. I wouldn't be able to wrap them because there wouldn't be time. We have lunch at 12 o'clock. It must now be 9:11. Yeah, there's... Oh dear, and I do have to leave the house, which in a fit state to receive a visitor tonight. Oh dear, I wish that wasn't necessary. I wish that could be left until later. Maybe I can, in a way, kind of negotiate that. I would have to propose this to my wife, which is not a difficult thing to do. But if you propose something to somebody, you do need to have a thought or two about the what if. Supposing they don't accept that proposal or don't find it attractive enough to agree to it. What if they withhold their agreement? What then? What if you don't have a fallback plan? You're then compelled to simply say, well, that's tough, but that's what I'm going to do. And devil take the hindmost. But otherwise, you do need to have a plan. So when I get home, I could run around the house in a hurry, getting everything ready for this evening, which is what I think I'll do. Instead of doing what I'd prefer to, which is sit in the kitchen drinking a cup of coffee and just dreaming myself or daydreaming myself into the day. It's time to daydream myself away.
That was from Cork with Love Adventure, sponsored by Nobody. This is your host, Paul O'Mahony, saying I hope it was worth your while listening. Bye for now.